Welcome to the God Solutions for Today's Problems podcast. Our goal is to help you see that no matter what problem you're facing, Jesus Christ holds the solution that you need. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offer. If this podcast has been a help and blessing to you, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book we are using in this podcast, The Guide to Biblical Counseling, by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Ron Hawkins. It is available on our website for just $30. You can make your purchase today at OrdainedChaplainsUSA.org. Now, here's your host, the president of Ordained Chaplains USA and life coach, Daniel White III.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to God's Solutions for Today's Problems podcast. This is episode number 57. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Ordained Chaplains USA and life coach. We don't have to look far to see that many people in this world are dealing with a variety of problems, troubles, difficulties, and are in need of solutions. Far too many counselors like to dialogue and just talk. But I believe God wants counselors and pastors and people who guide the lives of other people to offer solutions based upon the Word of God. No matter what problem you are facing, whether it is emotional, psychological, spiritual, mental, whatever, Jesus Christ holds the solution. The Word of God holds the solution that you need. As we walk together in this podcast, we will address a number of topics and issues that exist in the world and present solutions from the Bible, the Holy Word of God, that will help you heal and live life more effectively and more productively and more abundantly. Our aim in this podcast is, number one, to introduce you to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the ultimate source of all healing and blessing. Number two, to provide you with information that will help you to understand the problem that you're facing. Number three, and to help you by providing solutions to your problems. Our passage from the Word of God today for God's Solutions podcast is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58, one of my favorite verses from the time when I was a young Christian. This is one of my memory verses, if you will, that I hid in my heart as a young baby Christian. It encouraged me through many difficult times. And it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Allow me to share with you some interesting points on this passage from Dr. Matthew Henry's commentary. He said, in this verse, we have the improvement of the whole argument in an exhortation enforced by a motive resulting plainly from it. An exhortation and this threefold. Number one, that they should be steadfast. Hed roi. That's the Greek. Firm, be firm, be fixed in the faith of the gospel, solid, that gospel which he had preached and they had received, namely, that Christ died for our sins, and arose again the third day, according to the Holy Scriptures, and fixed in the faith of the glorious resurrection of the dead, which, as he had shown, had so near and necessary a connection with the former. Do not let your belief of these truths be shaken or staggered. They are most certain and of the last importance. Note, as only Dr. Matthew Henry can say it, Christians should be steadfast believers of this great article of the resurrection of the dead. It is evidently founded on the death of Christ. Because he lives, his servants shall live also. And it is of the last importance. A disbelief of a future life will open a way to all manner of licentiousness and corrupt men's morals to the last degree. It will be easy and natural to infer hence that we have, or rather that we may, live like beasts and eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Number two, he exhorts them to be immovable, namely, in their expectation of this great privilege of being raised corruptible, or rather, great privilege of being raised incorruptible and immortal. Christians should not be moved away from this hope of this gospel, this glorious and blessed hope. They should not renounce nor resign their comfortable expectations. They are not vain, but solid hopes built upon sure foundations. The purpose, or rather the purchase and power of their risen Savior and the promise of God to whom it is impossible to lie. Hopes that shall be their most powerful supports under all the pressures of life, the most effectual antidotes against the fears of death, and the most quickening motives to diligence and perseverance in Christian duty. Should they part with these hopes, should they suffer them to be shaken? Note, Christians should live in the most firm expectation of a blessed resurrection. This hope should be an anchor to their souls, firm and sure. He exhorts them to abound in the work of the Lord, and that always in the Lord's service, in obeying the Lord's commands. They should be diligent in preserving, they should be diligent in persevering herein and going on towards perfection. They should be continually making advances in true piety and ready and apt for every good work. The most cheerful duty, the greatest diligence, the most constant perseverance become those who have such glorious hopes. Can we too much abound in zeal and diligence in the Lord's work when we are assured of such abundant recompenses in a future life? What vigor and resolution, what constancy and patience should those hopes inspire? Christians should not stint themselves as to their growth in holiness, but be always improving in sound religion and abounding in the work of the Lord. The motive resulting from the former discourse is that their labor shall not be in vain in the Lord. Nay, they know it shall not. They have the best grounds in the world to build upon. They have all the assurance that can rationally be expected. As surely as Christ is risen, they shall rise. And Christ is as surely risen as the Scriptures are true, and the Word of God is true. The apostle saw him after his death, testified this truth to the world in the face of a thousand deaths and dangers, and confirmed it by miraculous powers received from Jesus. Is there any room to doubt a fact so well attested? True Christians have undoubted evidence that their labor will not be in vain in the Lord, not their most diligent services, nor their most painful sufferings. They will not be in vain, not be vain and unprofitable. The labor of Christians will not be lost labor. They may lose for God, but they will lose nothing by Him. Nay, there is more implied than is expressed in this phrase. It means that they shall be abundantly rewarded. He will never be found unjust to forget their labor of love. Nay, He will do exceedingly abundantly above what they can now ask or think. Neither the services they do for Him nor the sufferings they endure for Him here are worthy to be compared with the joy hereafter to be revealed in them. Those who serve God have good wages. They cannot do too much nor suffer too much for so good a master. If they serve Him now, they shall see Him hereafter. If they suffer for Him on earth, they shall reign with Him in heaven. If they die for His sake, they shall rise again from the dead, be crowned with glory, honor, and immortality, and inherit eternal life. Glory be to God. Our quote for today, in this episode of God's Solutions for Today's Problems, is from K.P. Yohanan. He said, "When you are faced with disappointments, and when all around you seems hopeless, do not give up or try to solve the problem yourself. Satan tries to use these disappointments to discourage you and bring you down. But God can use them for a better purpose. Go to Christ instead. He is able to lead you out of your discouragement. And if you focus on Him, He will use times of trials in your life to bring you closer to Him. You need only to look to Him. He is willing. Make your choice." So, beloved, in God's Solutions to Today's Problems podcast today, the problem we are discussing and dealing with today is discouragement, part two, based upon the fine book, The Guide to Biblical Counseling, by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Ron Hawkins. And now they talk about the assessment interview. Here are some questions that should be asked and talked about and discussed and dealt with among those who are deeply discouraged. What are some things or events that make you discouraged? Think about that. Do you have control over these things, or are they out of your control? In other words, can you do something about it? For example, if you are discouraged about your weight, being overweight, can you do something about that, such as exercise more, stop eating so much, etc.? Describe yourself using three adjectives. Describe what you think someone else would say about you. Here are some things you can say about yourself if you want to be honest: lazy, slothful, not diligent. And those three words indicate you are creating problems for yourself and may be the reason why you are discouraged. Describe what you think someone else would say about you, a friend, a parent, a coach. And some of you already know what they would say about you because they have said it to you, because they love you. For example, they may have said to you, you have a stinking attitude and a bad attitude, and your attitude determines your altitude, and that's why you're failing in life, because your attitude stinks. You need to write that down, if you will, or you need to say that. Note to questions 3 and 4, sometimes there is an underlying problem of lack of self-confidence that leads to discouragement. If you suspect such a problem, it needs to be addressed. When you feel discouraged, what do you do? Do you drink alcohol in excess? Do you find drugs that can, in your mind, help you take you away from your problems, at least temporarily? Next question. Next question. Do you have a direction or plan for your life? How about that? One of the common questions that people ask in the business world and even in the education world, and of people who are professionals, what is your 5-year plan? What is your 10-year plan? What are your goals for this month? One of the reasons why I believe with all of my heart people get discouraged is because they don't have a plan. They don't have a plan to accomplish the things that they know God wants them to accomplish. They know on the inside they should be doing. They have nothing to wake up for. And if you don't have anything to wake up for, you don't want to wake up. There are many people who live this kind of haphazard life where they don't have a 1, 2, 3. They don't have a to-do list for the day. They don't have a to-do list for the week. They don't have a to-do list for the month. They don't have a to-do list for the year. And they don't have a 5-year plan. They have no goals. What do you see yourself doing 3 years from now, 5 years from now? Where do you want to be? Where do you think God wants you to be? Have you ever thought about that? And how will you get there? See, if you have a plan for 3 years from now or 5 years from now, that's called vision. Now you need to do the practical work to get there. What do you need to do to get there? Such as, I need to finish my degree. I need to get my ID. I need to get my license. I need to get my certification. And then I can reach that goal. How about this question? Is failure an option for you? Now, let me give you a personal, and I'm a type A individual. God has wired me this way. Everybody's different. But failure is just not an option in my mind. I don't think about failure. It does not come into my mind. I will succeed. And I pray and hope that you'll get that kind of mentality. Failure is not an option. Here's another question. What does God think about failure? Sometimes people fail. That's just reality. But what should you do when you fail? The great Dr. Maxwell wrote a book titled Failing Forward. When you fail forward, fall forward. Meaning you gain some ground when you fall. Learn something from it to never repeat it again. They bring up, envision yourself failing at something. How does that make you feel? For me, it would be devastating. But I would get back up by the grace of God and not even count it as a failure. I'll just get back on the horse and ride again. And I would encourage you to do the same. Don't even dwell with the failure issue. Just understand it's a part of being on the road to success. Envision yourself succeeding at something. How does that make you feel? Everybody's different again, but I do not understand people who are not driven to be successful. I think God wants all of us to have that. Wise counsel. Discouragement ought to be the first indication that it is time to pray. People may become discouraged as they become overwhelmed and begin to neglect prayer and reading the Word of God. Ironically, this is when they need to be relying on God more and praying to God more. Help the person understand that God uses our trials, our failures, our tribulations to shape our personal and spiritual lives for the better and for His glory. Paul tells us, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Many times, what leads to discouragement are events that are out of control or that we have allowed to get out of control. The housewife who is overwhelmed and discouraged because she has not kept her house clean on a daily basis, has not taken care of the wash on a daily basis, has not taken care of her children properly on a daily basis, and she allows things to get unraveled and out of control, and she becomes overwhelmed, and what happens? She gets discouraged. This is where faith in God comes in, realizing that God sees the events in our lives before we do should help us not feel so overwhelmed. There are times when discouragement is a result of something the person could have controlled, such as flunking college or being late to work, and they lose the job. They could have controlled those situations and prevented them. These events should be seen as wake-up calls and opportunities to improve, not hopeless or disastrous events. These are allowed, if you will, so that the person can learn from the pain of experiencing it, never to do it again, and to encourage others to never do it. Often the discouraged person will need someone to be accountable to if this has been a lifelong problem and struggle. The person needs to be helped to see discouragement as an opportunity to grow in Christ and rediscover the person God designed in His image. Help the person to see discouragement as a time to step back and look at life and perhaps change some goals or behaviors, especially. Consider whether the unachieved goals are in keeping with God's plan for the person's life. Help people to understand that feelings of discouragement will likely creep into his or her life from time to time. This is normal because of our human nature, our sinful human nature. Share with the person that even when one has confidence in the abilities and greatness of God and has a better grip on handling challenges, it doesn't mean discouragement will never come again. It's going to come for most people. Some people, it doesn't touch them, but there are very few like that. Deuteronomy 1:21 says, "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Beloved, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, in our next podcast, we will continue looking at the problem of discouragement in your life. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I pray for thousands, yea, millions of Christians across the country and around the globe and many others. Lord, help them to confess their sins, because oftentimes sin will bring on discouragement and depression. And help us all to repent of our sins. Forgive us of our sins. And Holy Father God, if we're allowing things to unravel and to get out of control, forgive us of that, for that brings on discouragement and failure and depression as well. And Lord, help us to put one foot in front of the other. Help us to march on, even in the midst of tribulation and trouble and difficulty and trial and persecution, so that we don't allow things to get out of control. Lord, whether we feel like doing our schoolwork or not, whether we feel like doing our housework or not, whether we feel like doing other important things or not, help us to just 1, 2, 3 it. 1, 2, 3 it, if nothing else. Make a list of 3 things to do each day and do those. And Lord, it has been proven we will be amazed at how much we get done and how that we can avoid our lives getting out of control. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to take heed to this powerful time we've had together today. Lord, encourage the discouraged and those who are struggling by themselves. Lord, help them to do what your servant David did when he had to encourage himself in the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you are listening today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, nobody can help you with your anger issues better than the Savior, Jesus Christ. Allow him to save your soul from sin and hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and thou you shalt be saved. Here's how you can be saved from sin, anger, and hell, and have a home in heaven when you die. In more detail. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner. You have sin in your life. You are sinful. And that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell because of your sins. We die physically because of our sins, and our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, dear friend, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16 in the Holy Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, dear friend, if you need further coaching, please visit our website at www.ordainedchaplainsusa.org. If you have other questions about life's problems for this podcast, please email us at coach@ordainedchaplainsusa.org. Until next time, my beloved, please remember that God has a solution to all of your problems. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the God Solutions for Today's Problems podcast. If this podcast has been a help and blessing to you, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book we are using in this podcast, The Guide to Biblical Counseling, by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Ron Hawkins. It is available on our website for just $30. You can make your purchase today at ordainedchaplainsusa.org. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to the God Solutions for Today's Problems on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcast, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store. God bless you.